Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier. He is joined in the studio by the show's producer, Casey Capshaw.
What's the difference between stress and intensity? What's another option for the guy facing a midlife crisis? And are you driving your life, or is it driving you? We're back with Sean Phillips in a discussion that shows us how the body can be used to reawaken our passion for life. I'm just imagining this relates to the quote-unquote midlife crisis. If I jumped onto the unconscious train earlier on and got into a career, got into family, made a bunch of choices unconsciously, reactively, as you said, and now I find myself kind of, it's getting to the point where I can't take it anymore. Then I blow up, and I love the way you describe a midlife crisis with the Corvette.
Invariably, it rises up with, a new hairpiece, a new girlfriend, and a red Corvette.
And the same problems, right?
Yeah, it's the same problems. Probably worse problems, because now you're paying your ex-wife and so you got the financial stress and other stresses. But I mean, that's reacting, and it's not that somebody hasn't bought a Corvette out of proactive in the past and had some great moments and great choices. Yeah. And it's not that sometimes, a reaction isn't some pathway to some freedom or wake up. The thing is, it's, after you've got the new girlfriend, new Corvette, and all the other new parts, it's a hell of a time to have to wake up.
On the inside, nothing's really shifted. We've just reacted to and just said enough.
Yeah.
And really, you're saying get in the driver's seat earlier on, especially when we're starting to look at the second and third. I love how you divide life into thirds here, but say more about that.
Well, this is one that, and I picked this up, and I'm going to credit it to a friend of mine who was talking about it. And he's heading up on 40, and he said, I looked at my life and realized that it's half over. By all means, technically my life would be half over. And the minute you make that mental statement, my life's half over, you start going, oh man, dwindle down, pare down, panic, uncertainty. I'm already headed to, all of a sudden you start checking your retirement accounts. And then he looked at it and said, or I could look at my life as thirds and say my life's a third over, and I'm now heading into the second third. And now from the first third, I've got this wisdom, the collective wisdom. I know, I've learned. The second third now is my time to cultivate, to create. So to create abundance. So this is my time now in the second third of life to create all the things that I can create with my knowledge, my awareness, and my further developed self. And then in the third, I will you know, enjoy that which I've cultivated. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a fresh perspective on our lives. Are we now in this making hay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something about that second, third, and heading into that part of like, now's where we really get to shine. It's not over. It takes the glamour and the romanticizing of the first half of life away. And like, now this is where we really produce and really get to enjoy, really start to enjoy life from all that we've gained, all the experience and stuff that we've gained.
Yeah, well, and I think that feeds right into that whole piece I talk about in chapter two of my book, which is really creating that second S curve in life. Because I draw this picture and I say a lot of people, you know, most of our lives look like the cross section of a speed bump. Mm-hmm. You know, rises up, arcs over, and drops back down. And, mm-hmm. you know, we just kind of go along with that ride, and we don't take, you know, once again, into the driver's seat and decide how we want our lives to arise.
That's just the way it is. Yeah. I'm just hanging on here.
I'm hanging on. It's like you ask any guy in their you know 40s or 50s how it's going, and that's it. That's the response.
Hanging in there, baby.
Just hanging in there, you know. And it's like hanging in there is accepting all the myths, misinformation, and what life's dishing you. It's once again being at effect. It's saying, well, you know, I'm kind of supposed to. You know, I'm 45. I'm supposed to be kind of tired, aren't I?
Right. You're supposed to.
Yeah. You're supposed to. It's harder to be in, you know, well, it's kind of harder to be in shape. Mm. Well, it's, you know what? I'll give you, it ain't getting easier. Mm-hmm. But it's now more important than ever that you set yourself up for a lifetime of success. Because like I say, you know, you can get away with murder in your 20s if you don't get caught physically. Mm-hmm. You can get away with a lot in your 30s, but how you live from 40 to 50 is going to dictate how you live the rest of your life.
Mm. And it seems to me like some of that mental stuff, some of those beliefs and those myths, I'm just imagining, and I've heard you talk about a second rite of passage for a man, entering that second part of life, as we've called it a little bit, but taking those myths and examining them. Yes, there is. You are saying goodbye to youth. There's no sense in acting like you can go and recapture being a 19-year-old. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that you're dead. Doesn't mean that you've lost your vitality in a sense. But it's like, what? Talk more about what a second rite of passage would be.
Well, and I think there's a lot of ways to take it. But I think ultimately, if you look at, you know, what the transformation that Bill started in Body for Life and what I talk a lot about in Strength for Life, or, you know, the idea of starting with you, taking control of your life, your strength, your energy, your wellness, because there is no area in our lives that we're going to be able to truly exhibit more control and influence over anything than we can over our mental, physical well-being. Mm. You know, so if you want to head into that second half with some strength and energy, transform yourself physically. There's nothing that's going to give you a greater sense of mastery, control, confidence, and clarity. Sure, we need to take on all sorts of practices. Maybe there's meditation. Maybe there's a greater spiritual depth. Maybe all these things are part of the things we enter into, which are ongoing lifetime practices. Mm-hmm. But finding a cadence for your strength and energy and making the turn. Don't just say, well, I'm going to live a, you know, it's that back to the want thing. I think I'll live a little bit healthier life, you know, that, you know, the old death nail health, you know, the want thing.
And you got to catch me on that. That's if I say it, you got to like, hey, you
know. Yeah. No more of that hell stuff, you know? I mean, it's get specific and make the turn. So I call it making the new S curve, which is, can you go from good to great physically? Physically and mentally, because they are so connected, you know, and in Strength for Life, I do not disconnect the body and mind. I bring them together. Can you get yourself into a state where people go, man, you know, gee, Frank, you look at 10 years younger all of a sudden, and that can happen quickly.
Mm. And you're saying, so if I use the body as the vessel, I can actually transform my view of my life by transforming my body. Once I transform my body, it's going to challenge all those myths and beliefs that, oh, I'm heading down the hill and all that kind of shit. It's like, wait a second, my body still has so much to
go. You break out of the gravity. You break out of all the gravity and all those hidden myths that we're dialoguing all the time about what we're supposed to be doing or what the media tells us or how things are supposed to be going. You know, the normal trajectory, as I call it, the normal trajectory is 80% beliefs and 20% reality. Mm-hmm. You know, so what are you buying into? Mm-hmm. And if you want to bust your beliefs, don't just work every day on the beliefs. I think it's important that we work on gratitude, beliefs, affirmations, and all those tools, but actualize it, create it. Now, it's a hell of a lot easier to get, you know, you know, take 4 inches off your waist, increase your arm size by 3 inches, you know, get a lean cut chest. It's a hell of a lot easier to get that than it is to add $2 million to your bank account. Mm. That's not a bad goal to have all these financial goals and things, but those will take time to manifest out short of the lottery. Physically, you can win the physical lottery as your rite of passage. Feel that energy, feel that confidence, and frickin' be 10 years younger.
Mm. I just love that it shatters the bullshit myths. Yeah. Like, and it, if I'm a guy that's not living in the driver's seat, then I can see how if I've been buying a bunch of bullshit the entire time, that as soon as I start to reach that 40 point, it's just like, well, there it goes. Belly just gets bigger. My health continues to deteriorate. I'm not in touch with that magical what that you're talking about, the thing that I'm on this planet to do. My life suddenly looks like shit going down the tube.
Yep. Yeah, well, and it's really, you see it physically in people that they have that they've bought into accepting or, you know, settling. And it's like a lifetime of mediocrity, you know, to say, I'm physically going to accept what happens to my body or entropy. It's the old, you know, you're either headed up or you're headed down. There is no status quo. There is no leveling off like an airplane. You're either in a full-on dive or you're escalating or moving up in your life.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. We'll return to the discussion in just a moment. The New Man Podcast is celebrating its first year, and we'd like to offer what we feel is the best of The New Man. The Best of The New Man Volume 1 is a 6-CD set which features, well, the best of our programs in a high-quality, easy-to-use format. In these interviews, we discuss how to have difficult conversations with your woman. What do women really want from a man? How to be firm with someone without being an asshole? How to stay out of the friend zone? What kills sexual attraction in a relationship? How to handle blue balls? How to safely deal with your anger? And we'll also dive into the deeper questions like, why are you holding back in your life? Perhaps you know a guy who'd like The New Man but isn't hip to podcasts. Or maybe you just want the convenience of our best shows on CD for yourself. Support The New Man and go to thenewmanpodcast.com to purchase the Best of The New Man Volume 1 CD set today. As an added bonus, we'll throw in a free 30-minute coaching session with me, Trip Lanier. Thanks for listening, and now we head back to the discussion.
You're either in a full-on dive or you're escalating or moving up in your life. Hmm. So what's your choice? I mean, I don't say you've got to live every day like you're training for the Tour de France, but take a phase, do a period. Like I call in Strength for Life, I say, if you one phase, one 12-week stretch a year that you create your best physical condition, you peak once a year, you'll be in your best shape for the rest of your life.
Hmm. Yeah, and the book goes over, you do the 12-day, the base camp there, and then the 12-week thing, and then you actually lay out the plan for the year. But that part of it is that there's a peak that you do once a year. Why would I do that? Why wouldn't I want to make my peak the where I'm at the whole time? Is that real? That doesn't...
Because that's you can't make the peak the whole time, and it's like...
It's not a peak anymore.
Yeah, it's not a peak. Yeah, exactly. It's just life. So what you end up doing, and this so it happens to people so often because they have a moment. They get, you know, let's say people go through a transformation and they have that after photo, then they want to maintain that after photo every single day. It's not about maintaining the after photo. It's about maintaining your best energy, your best in your best life. You know, so I like to go through, I call it the seasons of strength. I like variety. I like what I call the perfect imbalance. It's not like I should be working on maximizing my bike riding, my running, my strength, and my yoga all at the same time. I want to be doing all those at the same time. No. You pick a season and focus on something so you get some variety in your life. You get some of that texture.
I love that variety thing. I just had a talk with a guy on sex, and we talked so much about variety there. But it's the greatest aphrodisiac. So if I want to be turned on with life, what you're saying, bring some variety to it.
Yeah, get into something that you otherwise haven't, you know, because you don't have to, you know, to take on yoga. If a guy's never touched yoga, you know, never been into it, you take that on for 12 weeks is not, you know, it's not a lifetime commitment. Mm-hmm. You can experience it and bring it in. And then guess what? You have access to that experience for the rest of your life. You got to have an educated view on why I do or don't like this as a life practice. Mm. Or what is it I want to bring forward out of this? Because every experience that we have, we bring something back to our life.
I would even challenge it and take it a bit further. I mean, I work with guys and this this kind of self-improvement stuff starts to get heavy on them. They can look at themselves and be like, God, there's just so much not right with me. And they want to buck the system and go back and just avoid, right?
Yeah.
And I invite them to like, well, what could it look like to be playful? Like, what are the things that you enjoy to do? What are the things that reinvigorate you and have you get fired up and turned on? What if the landscape, what if your schedule, if you open up your schedule and like, it was filled with shit that you enjoyed doing? Like, how much cooler would life?
Well, and I think that's what I present in the book so much, is that bigger context of what, and give you that variety to bring that joy. And you know, when you talk about the joy, you know, I immediately go back to my chapter 14 on motivation, which is you cannot will yourself to physical fitness freedom. It's not a willpower. It's not a discipline tool. It's a finding the joy in it and expressing the joy, because the joy, only through joy and pleasure are we going to reach a level of mastery.
Dude, that is huge, because as if I'm thinking about, I've got to get on this program and I got to get this part of my life, I'm not thinking about joy.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking like,
it's obligation.
Shoulds.
It's a big obligation.
Fuck
and,
that.
No, exactly, man. And I don't care what gets you started, but the idea that you're going to obligate or guilt yourself into any sort of mastery or freedom, and to take on a fitness program or a diet or any practice like that with a great big giant should and obligation and big load of guilt, that is not going to carry you.
Yeah, you speak a lot about motivation. That's only going to get us a week.
Yeah. That gets you going. You know, but it's not going to carry you, and you've got to take that. Now there's a way. So it's not just a got to. There's a way that you can systematically begin adding the spice to that, adding the wants, you know? And it needs to be a system for us to start transforming that into joy, because so often if we just look at strictly, well, what's pleasure? Pleasure often comes in activities right now, which are all based in avoidance.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I embrace engagement in my life in a joyful layer? How do I find joy in that thing that I couldn't even imagine finding joy in right now?
You know what's amazing, and I see this more and more, is how many guys in particular are not in touch with what's joyful or pleasurable in their life.
Well, like, with play.
Just play. Like, what is, they lost it somewhere along, you know, yeah, probably in their early teens. Like, it just lost it. I get really sad around that. Like, there's something about, can I recapture that playfulness and have it be, you know, miraculously in service of my health, my strength, excuse me, and the things that I really give a shit about in this lifetime. And you're saying that's the fucking point. Like, that's where it is.
Yeah. Well, and there's nothing joyful or playful when you're first engaging and learning something, because you really have to engage yourself in the kind of learning, you know?
Right.
So it might not be, you know, the first time you go out to play golf, that's not that all that fun, you know, but you gotta be with it, be there and make it fun, but make it okay. It's not that fun to take it up at first, but you get into, you know, but there's a lot of things that really true can just invigorate the joy again. And I've been riding again on my road bike, and it's not something I've really done for years, but I'm already looking forward to, cause you know, now I've got a group of guys I meet, you know, and I know I got to come up and we're going to ride, and you know, and it's, you know, it's fun and funny, and it's grueling and it's challenging, but I'm like, I'm enjoying this,
right?
You
on.
Know,
yeah, that's what I'm amazed that I make the time. I've got workout gear in my basement I never want to use, but I'll get up, stop whatever I'm doing, and drive to the pool to swim several times a week. I love it, you know, but so it really is about tapping into what do I love. Now, my times are closer to a manatee than Michael Phelps, but...
Well, Michael Phelps is an exceptional... I saw some story the other night on how many Americans are taking on swimming now, you know?
Oh.
And I just thought to myself, I'm sure glad Michael Phelps didn't take on the biathlon, because we'd be buying all kinds of guns. Americans are so easily influenced into the, I think I'll become a skier shooter guy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
That's hot.
I want to be skiing around with a gun strapped to my back.
Ha 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 ha.
Well, I love the fact that we're tying this into joy, to play, to purpose, to getting in the driver's seat in our lives. I'm imagining the guy that I'm inspired to reach and whack him upside the head and say, wake the fuck up, man. Yeah. There's more to your life than what you're settling for right now. And it doesn't have to be a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah. What's the, you know, and I love the practice of, you know, it's kind of the stop doing list that comes out of Jim Collins' Good to Great book. You know, what should you stop doing? And I think, and I heard this years ago, and I try to do one every 6 months if I can remember the practice, which is, what are you tolerating in your life? Mm-hmm. Take a piece of paper and write down the things you're tolerating.
Yeah.
And it's just, that'll wake you up.
That'll wake you up. The other one that I like is, you're the average of the five people you hang out with the most. You should watch people's faces because immediately they're like, wait, I hang out with those assholes so I can talk bad about them. It makes me feel better. Right?
You're an average of the five people you hang out with the most. That's good.
All right. So we're wrapping it up here. What's the one thing that a guy can do today? He's finishing listening to the show. What's the one thing that he can do today that's going to really set him on this path? It's something simple, something easy.
Well, here's something I give people. This is my foundation entry point to waking up. And this is, next time you go to work out, I don't care if it's a strength workout or yoga, next time you go to do cardio or anything else, you know, it's especially tangible in the strength training. Check in and bring your mind. Bring a focused mind. Check your focus. Focus on your breath. Get into the moment and be fully present there. Literally, one set of dumbbell curls with a fully focused mind will alter your perception of what working out is completely.
Let's say I'm doing a dumbbell curl. I'm just bringing, like, what does it actually feel like in my arm? Is there any a shooting in there, or am I just watching it? Or
there's a whole series of tips and tricks and techniques, and the focus intensity is really a grounding practice and breathing practice and intensity practice. But right now, I'll just say, focus your eyes visually on what you're training. Be present to it. Breathe. But feel it. Feel deeply inside of the muscle. Even if it's your lungs when you're climbing on your bike. But feel your legs. Watch the pedals. Check your heart rate. Be fully present to the experience that's arising for you. Because when you're training your body, there's no better time to train your ability to be present for what's arising. So I'm just challenging every one of you listening right now to, next time you go to physical train, I don't care if it's today or tomorrow, bring a fully focused mind and just see what happens.
Great. And you're saying greater bang for the buck. If I'm going to spend 10 minutes doing it, might as well get the most out of it by bringing that awareness in there.
It's results, baby. I mean, ultimately results. I mean, it's focus intensity training is about creating a more effective, shorter, briefer workouts that, you know, that produce greater results. But the results aren't just the physical. The results are that conditioned, strengthened mind that really is able to be focused on demand.
Mm. Wonderful. I love it. I love bringing it right down to the street and just like, here's what you can do, and this is the path.
Tangible, man.
All right. Right, Sean, on. Thanks for being on the show again. This is fantastic.
Thanks,
I think
Trip.
We got
Enjoyed
some great
it.
Stuff today, so we'll do this again soon.
All right, man. Look forward to it. Appreciate it.
Be sure to visit thenewmanpodcast.com/strength to learn more about Sean Phillips' book, Strength for Life. Thanks for listening.